Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us as we study part two of our educational series. Last week we looked at part one of an educational series and part two at our early morning services. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you today for this vigorous, cool air, which is a great blessing to me personally, and I hope corporately as well here. We do ask that your presence could be with us here this morning as we speak about educare, the changing of the character through education. And so bless us this morning to that end. In Christ's name, amen. Last week we looked at this book, The Soul of the American University, From Protestant Establishment to Establish Nonbelief, and we saw the steps down and how multiple schools that started out with religious bearings lost their bearings and drifted into non-sectarianism and actually then abandoning Christianity whatsoever. And we looked at what happened, and one of the things we looked at was that theology became more liberal and turned by degrees into moral science. And research-oriented German university with its ideology of empirical and value-free science became the norm for most expanding American institutions. So moving to supposedly just the data with no dogma was the idea, the notion that was foisted upon these schools. The concept of academic freedom was widened so as to be understood as scientific competence and was felt to be incompatible with dogmatic beliefs. So, essentially what that means is there was a switch from God's law to social science laws. And of course, Kellogg got caught up into this. There's nothing in the regular courses of study or in the rules and practice of discipline that is at least denominational or sectarian, he said of Battle Creek College. The biblical lectures are before a class of only those who attend them from choice. The managers of this college have no disposition to urge upon students sectarian views or to give such views any prominence in their schoolwork. Only problem was he was teaching at a denominational school, and one of the stakeholders was Ellen White, who said, "The Lord never designed that our college should imitate other institutions of learning. The religious element should be the controlling power. If unbelievers choose this influence," she also has choice in her statement, "it is well. If those who are in darkness choose to come to the light, it is as God would have it." So, but to relax our vigilance, to let the worldly element take the lead in order to secure students, is contrary to the will of God. The strength of our college is in keeping the religious element in the ascendancy. So anytime you hear somebody saying, "We're not just a Bible college," get very worried. If we're going to be anything, it should be a Bible college. Make sure to keep the religious element in its ascendancy. If a worldly influence is to bear sway in our school, then sell it out to the worldlings and let them take entire control. And those who have invested their means in that institution will establish another school to be conducted not upon the plan of popular schools nor according to the desires of principal and teachers, but upon the plan which God has specified. So does that mean we don't study science? No. We need to study the truths of God's word for this time, and also science. God's purpose has been made known that our people should have the opportunity to study the sciences and at the same time learn the requirements of his word. So it's not either or, it's both and, right? And it's with that in mind that I want to develop now a new theme this morning from this text, 1 Timothy 6:20. "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane," pro means before, phanum, the sanctuary, something that gets in the way of the sanctuary message, which is basically the foundation of our sciences. Maybe I should preach a sermon on that. I don't have time to explain that right now. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Vain. In vain do they worship me, teaching as for doctrine the commandments of men. So profanu, sitting in front of the sanctuary, the big thing in the sanctuary is the Ten Commandments, and choosing something other than God's moral law to lead. And oppositions of science, falsely so called. So vain babblings and profane things actually masquerade as science, falsely so called. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. That's how he started his letter to Timothy, saying, look, I'm led by the commandments of God. By the way, after that, he actually goes through all the Ten Commandments. He lists them cryptically. And that sounds provides the foundation for the entire book. So the moral identity of God's law found is the foundation for that entire book. And it's to lead people to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. So what's the gospel? It is the grace of God that was revealed to Paul when he was a blasphemer and a persecutor who was injurious towards others. And the revelation of God, which was full of faith and love, was revealed to Paul as he beheld no other than Christ Jesus, and then his body, the church. And as a result, Paul had been enabled by Christ, and he was counted faithful by Christ, and he was put into the ministry by Christ. This is actually the desire of Christian education, for each person to be called by Christ, to be counted faithful by Christ, and to be put into the ministry by Christ. And every degree that we earn is actually a means to that end. So, keep that which is committed. Science, falsely so-called. We have a lot of science degrees here. We have a lot of science teachers and a lot of science graduates. But the warning is to watch out for fake science. Fake science. There's fake news. There's fake science. There's fake theology. And that's the call. Now, one of our capstone projects last year, one of our graduates, the prophet Elijah here, did as his capstone a study of Adventist schools. There was a 43% drop-off between the teen and early adult years in terms of church engagement as he looked at his research. And people started to stop attending the Adventist church, usually in the age category of 18 to 29, which is the college age. And this was the highest drop-off. And the reasons they dropped out were these. Number one, intolerance of doubt. They said, you don't allow me to doubt. elitist in its relationships, they said to the church. Anti-science in its beliefs. Overprotective of its members. Shallow in its teachings. And repressive of differences. So these were the six things those people leaving were talking about. Every week I'm contacted by young Christians who tell me their faith cannot survive their interest in science. They feel the church has forced them into an either-or decision. They can either stay true to the Christian faith or become an intellectually honest scientist. So this is why we have classes here on origins, issues in origins. One of the threshold concepts is evolution true or is creation true? And we have some brilliant teachers that actually cover that. We enter into dialogues on that. We have weekends on that. And there's other basic threshold concepts that we cover here. Because if you're not careful, you can slip into science falsely so-called. I remember talking to one of the physicians that was here during the time of Desmond Ford crisis, where he was taking a bunch of people out of the church. He said, the only thing that kept me in Seventh-day Adventist was working a New Start. And I knew the principles of Ellen White and the Bible were true because I saw it every day. I saw people getting well every single day. And I knew it was true. Even though we had that erroneous teacher, Desmond Ford, down at Newcastle Church, right, living in Newcastle and going to the Auburn Church. So what saved the people was the actual reality of true science. And that's another reason we rotate our students through the depression recovery program. They see people get better from depression and anxiety. That's another reason we rotate people through the New Start program. They see people get better in real time, healed by principles that are consistent with true science, but also with God's Word. So that Bible and science together. By the way, we wouldn't have science without Scripture anyway. Which I'll come to a little bit later. So, anti-science. And by the way, in our culture, science, and I hope the sound works here. Let's see if it does. Science is something that America and many others really tout. Look at this. Almost hilarious, not hilarious, sobering, it's kind of the opposite, clip. Is it on? What's that? You cannot play audio. Could you hear it if I played it? How do I turn my audio on? You got to hear this. Somehow. Let's see. Preferences? Maybe not preferences for keynote. Well, let me look. No. Preferences for the whole thing. Let me go to it here. And let me go to the audio sound. And let me go to internal speakers. Thank you, Randall Steffens Jr. Can you say amen for Randall Steffens Jr.? This is a guy who's looks about what's needed, you know. That's a good elder or deacon. They're looking around to see what's needed. They don't just sit there. They're looking around. They might be looking at you right now, see what you need. Which is good. Okay. See if we can hear this. All right. A little unorthodox, but let's try it.
We turn to the most certain thing there is, science. Science can overcome diseases, create cures, and yes, beat pandemics. It has before, it will again. Because when it's faced with a new opponent, it doesn't back down. It revs up, asking questions till it finds what it's looking for. That's the power of science. So we're taking our science and unleashing it. Our research, experts, and resources. All in an effort to advance potential therapies and vaccines. Other companies and academic institutions are doing the same. The entire global scientific community is working together to beat this thing. And we're using science to help make it happen. Because when science wins, we all win.
There you have it. Science is actually, sounds like a person there almost. It's not a method anymore. It's a person, and it's going to win. And that's actually the message today in the media. And people are canceled or amplified based on whether or not society, usually some people that don't have any science degrees at all, decide whether or not they're valid or invalid. It's kind of an odd time, isn't it? Science. And so, in our nation, and in many nations, scientists showed up and made statements that led to the stopping and shutting down of things because of an emergency that was going to last 15 days, then 30 days, but now 8 months. all based on science. And the threat of death, 2 million people, it said, were going to die in the United States by this time, by June 20. We didn't have 2 million people die, but that's what they said. And everything was shut down. And then the person that said that there would be 2 million people die in America actually admitted that their report was not based on good science. And then Neil Ferguson, the academic who created it, actually had to resign and lost his job. But already the economies of a lot of countries had been shut down based on that science. So, basically that science was the same science that was pushed in America. And some people called foul. Elon Musk was very upset about the fake science. And yet that's what had happened. So, I would show you that clip, but may run out of time. So I want to look a little deeper at this issue of science in terms of education. We certainly want to be educating scientists here. Our top enrollment in our school here is a natural science degree. But we want to educate people in science to be able to spot fake science and also be directed in their scientific endeavors by the Word of God. Let me say that again. Directed in their scientific endeavors by the Word of God. Now, that's odd to a scientist. They say, no, absolutely not, because that wouldn't give us true science, right? Well, this argument began early in the great controversy. In fact, it began in heaven. False science is one of the agencies that Satan used in the heavenly courts. What? False science in where? The heavenly courts. And it is used by him today. The false assertions that he made to the angels, his subtle scientific theories, led many of them from their loyalty. Now, I don't know exactly what that means or how that worked, but Pen of Inspiration is indicating that it was fake science in heaven that led to the fall. How many think that's a little sobering? So this means that actually Satan is quite a scientist. And we're going to see later on that he actually knows how to manipulate science and he knows how to manipulate scientists. Having lost their place in heaven, they prepared temptations. This is the angels, the fallen angels, for our first parents. Adam and Eve yielded to the enemy. And by their disobedience, humanity was estranged from God and the earth was separated from heaven. Has God said you would die? Where's the evidence for that? We don't have any evidence of that. He just doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. He's sharing fake science with you. Listen to our science. Of course, they didn't ask the question like, where are you from? Why'd you get kicked out of there? Historically, how's it been working out for you? Which might have been a good question. The fallen foe deals in his science today as verily and in the same way as when he deceived Adam and Eve. Fascinating. What about Noah, the time of Noah? The preacher of righteousness was proclaimed to be an ignorant fanatic who had no knowledge of the laws of nature. What, you're talking about a flood? There has never been a flood. Maybe a flood in your brain, Noah. Maybe you have some flooding. They reasoned from scientific principles that the world could not be destroyed and that no attention should be paid to the predictions of Noah. But he kept preaching 120 years. This philosophy, or science falsely so called, exalted the law above the lawgiver and the things created above the creator. Notice that phrase. Is the lawgiver above the law? Doesn't mean he breaks the law, but in terms of being immoral, but every miracle he did was interposing. How many of you want God to interpose in someone's life today through a miracle? How many would like to see that happen? How many are glad that he actually can do that? How many of you have ever seen people healed? I've seen at least 4 people dramatically healed in my ministry where I knew by looking at the lab test before and after, and so did all the physicians, know that it was a healing. One of them was Dr. Mills, our board chairman's mother. They told her she'd never play the piano again when she fractured her, can't remember which bone in her arm. They said, this is never going to work. And the next time they went back, the bone had moved right back into position. I couldn't believe it. Called everybody else in the room. And we had prayed, if Millie is to play the piano again, intervene. And God did. Radiologists believed it. Orthopedists believed it. They all said, we've never seen this before. So what did Noah do? He stood for all of God's commandments, moral and health laws. Did you know that some of the scientists that parade across our monitors are immoral people that promote immoral things? Did you know that? If you're listening to a scientist on television or on whatever your platform you're looking at, and they've used their science to promote or practice immorality, how many think that's someone you should trust? Noah stood for all God's commandments, moral and health laws. He took a stand against the culture in regard to marriage. Marriage was between whatever, man and beast, and also polygamy. In fact, Noah and his 3 sons and their wives were some of the only monogamists left. And they got into the ark with 1 wife and 1 husband. A man and a woman is what defined marriage, and those are the ones that God saved in the ark. The antediluvian world would not leave off their sins, but continued in their polygamy. They did not want to get in the ark. There was no housing for them. It was 1 man and 1 woman. Was it 1 man and 3 women? It was a man and a wife. The animals went in and showed how that worked. Number 3, he lived out his faith by speaking out his faith. He preached for 120 years. Every person should know how to preach. We preach to each other. How many have a roommate that preaches to you? All right? We need some truth this morning. And when we counsel with each other, that's a form of preaching. And then, of course, there's the more formal setting of preaching. Number 4, he lived out his faith by building and getting into an ark. He knew the difference between clean and unclean. He understood and embraced the gospel. That's what the scriptures say. It says he found grace. He understood the gospel. And his name actually means rest. He found rest. His life provides a pattern for the faithful to follow. As it was, In the days of Noah, so shall it be, coming of the Son of Man. What happened in Noah's day? A hyperfixation on marriage. Everybody talking about, does that boy like me? Does that girl like me? Losing sight of larger realities. Does that happen today? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Son of Man. Where was that first used in the Bible? That phrase. Where was that first used in the Bible? That phrase. Yeah, it's actually in the book of Daniel. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Son of God, Son of Man. Well, that Son of Man would show up, and there'd be a showdown between the Son of Man and the man of sin, who would think to change times and laws. And that's where we have the story of Daniel. And Daniel had to stand up against the false science of Babylon, or the Babylonians, or the king, and he had to stand for the true science of Judah. So there was a showdown over science. By the way, the ancient Babylonians were the first to use geometry. They developed trigonometry, superior to the modern versions, 3,700 years ago. These were scientists, and they were brilliant. And they found their writings. So these people who had graduated from Jew were re-enrolled in Bu. So they were in Jerusalem University, and they went to Babylonian University, and they had to stand the test of fake science. And this was a showdown. Daniel 1:4, children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding. What? Science. And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning on the tongue of the Chaldeans. So are they in the very center of scientific education with the top scientist of Bu, Babylon University, and they had to be able to stand up to that. How'd they do? Oh, by the way, they already had found their identity by standing up against apostasy under the reign of Josiah. I want to read about that, 2 Kings 22 and 23. And they'd already purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves before they ever got to Babylon. And their study of the word allowed them to be ready for the study of the sciences. Now, some of you may have heard of somebody whose name was W.D. Frazee. W.D. Frazee is the founder of Wildwood, but he never went to school until he went to Loma Linda. He was homeschooled. And in his homeschool, his mother said, we're going to memorize the book of James. So they memorized James. We're going to memorize the book of Revelation. We're going to memorize Steps to Christ. We're going to memorize the Desire of Ages. And he could quote literally chapters from God's Word and from the Bible. I mean, from the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. When he went to school, he had absolutely no problem with anything Loma Linda put before him. He could memorize the book. And there was an older gentleman who was about 45 years old that was in his class that needed help because he was going back to class. He was an attorney who had been converted by being in the home of an Adventist after he had broken his leg, where he was going down searching for gold in Mexico, but he broke his leg. He had to stay in this guy's home. He was an Adventist. Finally, he asked him, You're so different. What's different about you? And he gave him the book Desire of Ages, and he fell in love with Jesus. He became a Christian, a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. He felt convicted he needed to be a medical missionary, so he goes to Loma Linda, but he's having a hard time in the classes. His name is John Tyndall. You see that new building over there we're building? That's what it's going to be called, Tyndall Hall, right? John Tyndall. He said, I need help. And that young Willamore Frazee, W.D. Frazee, so let me help you. And he helped him pass his classes. And then they started a medical missionary together. He says, come with me and help me on the road. And they piloted medical missionary work where they went from city to city and did New Star programs. And they'd have 200-300 people join the Seventh-day Adventist Church after they'd been healed physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So Daniel was like this, understanding. By the way, how many letters did they have in the Hebrew alphabet? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. 22 in the Hebrew alphabet. How many in the Babylonian alphabet? 500. I met an Assyriologist. His name was William Shea. And he was a brilliant physician that then went to Harvard to get his degree in Assyriology, learning all those languages. And he told me he could only keep that language in his mind for about 5 years. It was too complicated. You know, you talk to these programmers who are brilliant. They can keep a lot of stuff in their mind. But he only could do that for about 5 years. And they learned the language and literature of the Chaldeans. They wowed the scientific community. The Chaldean magicians were placed where they had to acknowledge the inefficiency of their scientific power so that God could show the superior wisdom possessed by those who worship him. He sought to lead princes and people from broken cisterns to the living fountain by revealing the divine science of eternity. And who was it that revealed the science to them? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, right? Stood for all God's commandments, would not break God's law, moral or health-wise, took a stand against the culture in regards to diet and drink. He knew the difference between clean and unclean. He uplifted a monogamous marriage model. He actually himself was a eunuch. He lived out his faith, probably not by choice, and spoke of his faith in prayer and direct dialogue with God. He listened carefully to the voice of prophecy. He listened to Jeremiah's testimony. He understood and embraced and preached the gospel. And he understood the gospel. To you, O God, belongs righteousness, but to us belongs shame and face. To us, sin. But to you belongs mercy. In fact, the book of Daniel lays the foundation for Galatians and Ephesians and all the epistles. His life and prophecy provide a pattern for us to follow. And Jesus even says, read and heed his writings. By the way, did you know that scientific study in Daniel chapter 1 was the first scientific study, according to the New England Journal of Medicine, known to mankind? It laid the foundation for scientific thought. And did you also know that scientific thought did not develop in any culture, except Judeo-Christian culture? That's where initially science came from. It did not occur in Egypt. It did not occur in any other culture. And this is from people that study the history of science. How many are thankful for the Bible? Without it, you would not have science. And without it, you can't tell, without the Bible, you can't tell the difference between true and fake science. And that brings us to our text, Timothy. He stood for all God's commandments. They're all summarized in chapter 1. He took a stand against the culture in regards to blasphemy, diet, dress, and marriage. The big issue in Timothy's day in his culture was homosexuality. It also was a big issue in Corinth. It also was a big issue in Rome. And it is the big issue today. The New Testament is a document that's written for today. And the people in the New Testament were persecuted for their stands that they took, just like we're going to be persecuted. You say, no persecution. Did you know that in most of the parts of the world today, there is rampant persecution of Christians? And as a result of COVID-19, we can see that can rapidly happen here. You have no inalienable rights in this nation. They were all taken away for the last 8 months. Amen. They were taken away. And they weren't taken away by legislation, were they? They were taken away by special powers that were granted to governors. And they told you not to go to church, but you could go to the casino. They told you not to go to church, but you could protest. I'll talk more about that in about an hour. So he stood up against all these issues, homosexuality. He stood up also against false ordination practices. He stood up in terms of diet. He stood up against actually spiritualism in the church. He rooted his practices on the directives of the God of creation. He said Adam was formed first and then Eve. So he went back to the original documents. He lived his faith, though a young man in a corrupt culture, living in Ephesus. He understood and embraced and preached the gospel. And his letter was to provide a pattern for all the churches to follow. In 1 Corinthians 4, it said that Timothy was not some document that was just culturally conditioned, like we hear even in some of our own circles. No, it was a seminal document that was to be read, according to 1 Corinthians 4, in every single city as a pattern of how to set up the church. How many are finding this a little fascinating? Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. Profane, against the sanctuary message. Vain, false commandments. Oppositions of science, falsely so called. So Noah, Daniel, Timothy, but what about the time of the end? What about now? I want to tell you that every conceivable thing is coming in that the devil can bring in. All his science, in the name of science and hypnotism and various things. At the end of time, there is going to be, according to the servant of the Lord, a focus on science. It will be the subject of primary discussion. How many think that has proved true over the last 8 months? We're going to follow the science. And everybody has their own little scientist. Here's my scientist. There's your scientist. He will make people sick. Who will do this? Satan. He understands science. You think he understands viruses? How many think he understands viruses maybe a little bit more than you do? He will make people sick. And then he will bring them out of the sickness. And they will say, this miracle is worked by the power of God. Now, it is the power of the devil that will work mightily. If it is possible, he would deceive the very elect. What is soon coming upon us? Seducing spirits are coming in. God has ever spoken by me. You will hear before long of a wonderful science, a science of the devil. Its aim will be to make of no account God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. They'll say, hey, it's value free, has no dogma in it. It's nothing to do with the Bible. It's not from a Bible college. Like I said, be very leery of saying you don't want a Bible college, because this is what you'll get. Some will exalt this false science, and through them, Satan will seek to make void the law of God. You know the big concern today in the scientific community and in the culture over debates over who's on the Supreme Court? Is they think they might reverse some of the positions that were taken by the Supreme Court that are directly against the law of God. Directly against the law of God. Is killing babies against the law of God? Is same-sex marriage against the law of God? And I could go on. And this is it.
Well, they're not following the science.
Some will exalt false science, and through them, Satan will seek to make void the law of God. That's what's happening in America today. And in the state of California, it's especially kicked up. It's almost as if the government is actually attempting to go through the commandments and publicly say, we're going to break those. Have you noticed that in California? You've not noticed this? For the last 6 weeks, every week, there's been a direct attack on the law of God. Have you noticed that? Yeah, it's gone back further than that, brother. You're a little younger than I am. And some people say, why are there fires? Did you know that God's word says fires come when you ignore God's commandments? Did you know that? It actually says that. It's not politically correct to say that. I didn't say it. God said it. I'm just pointing it out to you. Thankfully, he has the rain fall on the just and the unjust. How many are going to pray for rain? So some will exalt this false science, and through them Satan will seek to make void the law of God. Great miracles will be performed in the sight of men in behalf of this wonderful science. So if you hear anything on the news, if you hear anything in the paper, if you see anything on the internet of a debate about science, what can you know? You're living at the time of the end. Jesus is coming soon. How many of you are ready? God designed that men's intellectual powers should be held as a gift from his Maker and should be employed in the service of truth and righteousness. But when pride and ambition are cherished and men exalt their own theories above the Word of God, then intelligence can accomplish greater harm than even ignorance. This is why you never teach science without the Bible. Because what you're creating is monsters. Intellectual individuals who are attacking God's law and God's people and everything righteous. Notice how this ties with the papacy at the end. Thus, the false science of the present day, which undermines faith in the Bible, will prove as successful in preparing the way for the acceptance of the papacy with its pleasing forms as did the withholding of knowledge in the opening of the way for its aggrandizement in the Dark Ages. There was an encyclical that came out one day after I preached about what was in it. I didn't realize that would happen this last week. And it went all over media platforms. But what I was shocked by was that there was basically no response or pushback against it in this Protestant country. I looked at pages of searches on various search engines. No Protestant response. There were responses from Catholics.
We think you went too far.
Catholics saying that. And Americans said,
we didn't like the fact that the title said brother but not sister.
So look at everything through their gender lens. But I was saying, how insipid is this? No response. But should it actually shock you? False science of the present day undermines faith in the Bible, will prove as successful in preparing the way for the acceptance of the papacy. I'm going to talk about that document at the 11 o'clock hour. And I want to tell you, it is not something that we should be accepting. And it is something we should be speaking against. Now, how many can see how important this issue of education is? Especially education in the sciences. I was talking with Berkwin, Dr. Feast, this last week. And we were talking about this. And then he showed me how in his class, at least, what class was that you showed me? Genetics. He has a Bible study that goes with every single lecture. Can you say amen? And he shows that, and he also told me that as he's giving that Bible study with genetics, his students are actually saying, I found this quote, I found that quote. Dr. Harris has a similar thing in her classes. Can you say amen? Amen. Dr. Kinjo has a similar thing in his classes. And they're adding more and more each year, making it more and more robust. They're actually coming out with new textbooks. Right, guys? That's a prophetic statement. You know what a prophetic statement is that you're alarmed about? That's an anxiety attack. It's looking into the future. But how many think they should write textbooks? How many think that if we're not using textbooks that are decidedly different, then why have a school? In fact, I was talking to our new business professor who sometimes sits on the front row at church. And he said, yeah, there needs to be books on economics from a great controversy perspective. How many of you think it would be great if every single department here had a new textbook within the next 5 years? How many think that would be good? How many think we might need that? You see, the real issue to keep us pure in the sciences is to always remember that the greatest science is the science of soul winning. The goal of every class is the soul. It's not to get into medical school. It's not to get into dental school. It's to get into medical school to save souls. It's to get into dental school to save souls. Right? You never separate those two when you're talking about it even. That's to be our focus. So each of these folks had received Christ. They saw him as the only salvation for sin. They followed him as Lord. They walked in him within his love and his law. They were rooted and grounded in him. They abounded in thanksgiving. And through these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they would deliver only their own souls. In other words, we each need to have our own experience with the Lord. We each need to be so tied with the Lord that we're able to keep that which is committed to our trust able to avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you are the author of true science, which came as a result of the revelation in nature and the revelation in Scripture. May we be connected closely to you in this time when science is in the center of discussions. And may we be so connected that we are not carried away by science falsely so called. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.